Do zoos share best practices as a general rule, or is it real competitive?
The nice thing about zoos is they do share. Knoxville Zoo is a accredited member of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums and has been since 1984. There's an accreditation process that we go through every 5 years. It's not a reaccreditation, it's an accreditation. You start from scratch. That's what the best practice is. That's where they're discovered, if you're actually doing that or if you're not. The Association of Zoos and Aquariums really is a group of, right now, I think it's 216 organizations that are the best of the best.
Here in the U.S.?
In the U.S., and there's a number that are in Canada and in Europe as well.
Among those, then, and especially with the association, how have their standards changed in your experience?
Oh, a whole lot. There was a cursory overview as far as when I first started, and they'd come, and it's a peer review. And it was somewhat of a situation where everybody knew everybody, and if you didn't have something exactly right, well, they'd say, okay, you got to work on this. And now that's changed to, no, you need to do that within this specific time period, or you've been told once, now you're out.
To whom does this accreditation matter?
We don't really talk about it a whole lot because to the normal visitor, it really doesn't matter a whole lot. But that's where we get our expertise. That's where we get our staffing. That's where we get our animals. We work with the rest of the accredited zoos in species survival plans. Right now, Knoxville maintains close to 40 species survival plans. You don't own the animals per se. You share the genetics. Right now, we're working with Malayan tigers. Very few of those animals. There's probably about 400 to 500 in the world. We are building exhibits to be able to house and to breed. Now, they may or may not ever be released in the wild again, but their bloodlines will be maintained, and they'll be maintained as a pure species as long as they can.
Is that a new mindset? You know, it's more dire as we go along in time and as species shrink and as human populations expand. It's something that more zoos are focused on?
Very much so, and it's more and more focused all the time. When zoos became popular in this country, it's only a couple of hundred years that they've been in existence here, and they were menageries. And what the caretakers at that point would do is they would bring animals in from the wild, and they would live their lives, and then they would die, and then they would go get some more. Over the years, they've realized that they are caretakers of the genetics of those animals and also of the animals themselves. There's very little wild out there, and it's getting less and less all the time.
I've noticed, just in my lifetime, an expansion in space, in habitat, for these animals. But a lot of zoos are urban, and there's only so much room for them to expand. What do you see as the future for someplace like the Knoxville Zoo?
We become specialists. The animals that we have and do well with, those are the animals that we specialize on their bloodlines and specialize on in breeding those animals. African elephants, we still have African elephants. Our exhibit is about an acre and a half. That isn't as large as we'd like to have it, but our programs with our elephants give them the exercise for their minds as well as for their physical well-being, and that's critical. What we're concerned with is 24 hours a day for the animals, not just while they're on exhibit and while the people are there, and then we put them up at night. No, that's not the way it works.
The specialization, that's pretty common for a lot of zoos, I would think.
Yeah, it is. Zoos still have to have those megavertebrates and the charismatic megavertebrates, and because we do have to have people. We compete with literally everything out there. But our competition is a little bit different. We're a nonprofit organization, and we take that very seriously. We don't make much money, but we make enough to take care of the animals and take care of them very well. With the competition out there, we have to continue to bring in new exhibits or new activities for our guests.
When you say competition, do you mean with other zoos in bringing people in or bringing people to Knoxville? Or what's the competition?
Bringing people to Knoxville, to the Knoxville area, Knox County area, which helps all of the organization because hopefully they will spend some more time and learn some other things at some of the other organizations. And the hope is that they'll stop in, spend a few hours at the zoo. They'll learn a little bit. They'll take some of that with them. Maybe they'll come back another time. Maybe they'll buy a membership. Maybe they'll visit other zoos, and maybe they'll get more interested in nature.
Just want to ask you a couple of questions about the before picture and the after picture in the death of Stephanie James. She died 2 years ago. Can you kind of describe what happened?
Stephanie was a very good staff member and wonderful with animals and especially with elephants. She had had worked with animals in a zoo situation for about 8 years. We were in a free contact method of managing elephants then, is where the keeper shares the same space as the elephant. Elephants are extremely intelligent animals. They need both social contact, and they also need things to really exercise their minds. In a free contact situation, it helps with that, and it also helps with medical situations. But when you come right down to it, an elephant, our smallest elephant, is about 8,500 pounds, and our biggest elephant is over 15,000 pounds. Whether an elephant is playing or whether an elephant is angry or whatever, we will never know. The elephant brushed against Stephanie, and a brush with an 8,500-pound animal against a 125-pound woman, it just doesn't work, and that did cause her death. I made the decision at that point to stop dealing with elephants in a free contact situation. Wasn't that there was anything that we did wrong or anything that was against the rules. It was just a matter of Stephanie died, and that was the last word on it.
You made the decision to change that and add the barrier. What sort of barrier is there?
Well, there's steel bollards that serve as their containment inside the building. Those are 1/4 to 3/16 steel tube that's made into a square of 8 to 12 inches. So they're very, very stout. Stephanie was standing in front of one of those bollards when the elephant came in and just moved her head across Stephanie, and it was enough to kill her.
What has changed then?
The containment is exactly the same, except we've added some newer features, which we call a training wall, and they allow less opportunity for an elephant to have a animal in direct contact. There can be touching, but it has to be steel between the keeper and the animal. Now, we have gone through that process with AZA, and AZA has changed things too. Now, AZA has mandated that we train our animals to be tethered when necessary for either medical procedures or for some additional training where a keeper or a vet does have to go in with the animal. So all of our animals are trained on tethers.
Did the changes then to the management of the elephants at the Knoxville Zoo, did that inform any changes to other animals at the zoo?
Yes, it promoted some awareness of the difficulties. There's actually been more people, more keepers and zoo employees killed by tigers than there have been by elephants. But that's one that since Stephanie's death and since some other injuries and deaths in zoos, there's been a concentration of that. But we concentrate, and we always have, and most zoos do, with their drill procedures on all animals. Very few organizations worldwide go in with their tigers, lions, all the big cats. It's just not a very smart thing to do. There's Class 1 animals that are labeled Class 1 by Tennessee Wildlife Resource. We make sure that nobody goes in with Class 1 animals. And that's always been the case. It's with elephants, elephants needed for us to go in with them for a long time. And they still do, but we've come up with other ways to do it in a safer manner.
So are they considered to be a class one animal now?
Yes.
What are the best changes that you think have been made in your time working in Illinois and here in Knoxville?
The animals are more habitat related. There's more things for the animals to do. And that continues to change. And that's the thing that we've concentrated most in Knoxville. When I came there, we had 27 what we called bunkers. They're concrete dens for animals. And now we're down to 4. And those will be not used at the end of this year. In fact, right now, we're getting ready to move the last animals out of those bunkers. So it'll be real soon. And those are the things that we do want to get rid of. We've gotten rid of most of the balans. A balan's a corn crib. And it's a huge round cage, but all zoos use them for birds and small cats and a lot of things. We're phasing all of those out. We've only got, I think, 2 that we're using right now, and those won't be used by the end of the year. So, again, it's a quality of life, and the quality of life is as important as protecting the bloodlines, and even more so. We try very hard to make sure that our animals serve to educate, that they're teachers. They'll never, more than likely, never be released. We have released some animals, but for the most part, ours will stay. The nice thing for them is that they lead a very comfortable life. They aren't free to roam, but they rarely get eaten by anything. And the exercise that we provide for their minds, hopefully, is even better for them than the fear of losing their lives.
Personally, I have a really hard time with zoos. Even if it's a large habitat, if the facility is really nice, even though I know that it's the only place that I would ever see this animal and that most humans would ever see this animal, and 2, that it is better in the long run for species survival and education. There's something about it that is really, it's very emotional for me, always. Do you run across that a lot?
I would love to have all animals free and in the wild. But as I said before, there's very little wild left. Wild is managed. The larger animals, I would love to have more space. And that's what we try to provide them. And what we try to provide our guests is the ability to be able to see them in as natural a setting as we can provide. But just as you said, most of the people in this area and in most areas wouldn't see a lot of these animals in their natural situation. And out of sight, out of mind is very true.
Jim Volna is the former director of the Knoxville Zoo. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.